Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy. The Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.
This is No BS Job Search Advice Radio, episode 1413. I'm Jeff Altman, the Big Game Hunter, and welcome to Sunday, and Sunday, my long interview day. What I've been doing is using my old show, Job Search Radio, when it was doing 30-minute interviews with people, to offer information to this audience about different elements of job hunting. And this is a show that I recorded several years ago where I spoke with someone about transitioning from the military to civilian life. Hope you find it helpful. And for those of you who are serving or have served, I hope this is helpful to you. And with that, let's get going. My guest for this show is Michelle Trojanowska. Now, before I start telling you about her background, I want you to understand that there's a reason why I'm going to be reading a very lengthy bio for her. It's really going to be the subject matter for the first part of our show. But I want to give you a heads up that this is going to be a long read for me, okay? So, like many, Michelle is an ex-New Yorker. She joined the military as an enlisted member in 1998 and then became an officer after attending officer candidate school. She deployed to Kuwait and Iraq and was in charge of maintaining accountability for soldiers, up to 27,000 at one time. She built a post exchange, maintained accountability, and with the largest budget allowed by the military at that time, led all convoy missions in order to resupply and stock. All told, she served in Iraq from January 2004 until March 2005. In October 2005, Michelle returned to work in Iraq as a civilian on two different contracts as an HR manager before working for one final year at the U.S. Embassy Baghdad for Lockheed Martin on the facilities contract as their HR manager. Once she returned stateside, Michelle worked as an worked for an independent defense firm, placing prior military and civilian jobs within Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Afghanistan. Once contracts in these countries began to draw down, Michelle applied for and became the first HR director for Norwegian Cruise Line, spending up to 5 months at sea. She's currently the facilities HR director at North Carolina State University, with a population base of 900 employees. Michelle, I'm out of breath. Welcome to Job Search Radio. Great to have you on board.
Thanks, Jeff. It's great to be on board. I feel really privileged that you invited me to speak today, especially in discussing veteran and civilian life.
You're welcome, and thank you for your service. Michelle, what's wrong with that kind of writing style or that sort of description? Like if we were putting this into a resume, what would be wrong about doing all of this?
Most civilians do not really truly understand what military members do and what their job description is about. And in this particular example, the one you read of my bio, a good example of how a civilian would not understand is a post exchange. What is a post exchange? People really do not know what that is. So how do you translate that, and how do you civilianize your resume in order to sell your strengths and your attributes to someone that doesn't understand?
So post exchange is like a sundry store. I understand that. But I also understand what you mean about civilianizing resumes, because I read resumes from those who are separating from the service all the time, and they're not speaking my client's language.
Right.
Is that what you tend to see?
Yes, yes. I see that a lot, Jeff. And it's, I think they just don't know where to start, and there are resources are available. I think the easiest thing I always have told individuals is take what you do in the military and then think about it in the civilian life. For example, if you're an 88 Mike, do you know what that is, by the way?
No, I don't, as a matter of fact.
Okay. It's a truck driver. And if you put on your resume that you were an 88 Mike and you drove this amount of hours and this and that, the civilian counterpart isn't going to, right off the bat, they see 88 Mike, they're probably going to distance themselves because it's an unknown. I would recommend that you go to any job description. You can Google truck driver jobs and poll different, look at different jobs, compare, see what's applicable to you in the military, and use the civilian terminology to make your resume more viable to people to understand and really to sell yourself.
How did you do it for yourself? You know, what was your background? Well, did you struggle to transition when you came out of the service? And how did you compensate for it if you did?
I did struggle. I went on job interviews and people asked me questions, in particular shortly after I returned from my deployment. They asked questions like, well, we don't really understand what an EID is. We just don't have too many people who have been to war. Inappropriate questions such as that, or do you think you'll have to go back to Iraq or Afghanistan? And I realized that it's not that people don't care, they just don't understand. Some of the things I did struggle with is how do I sell myself as a leader? And everyone in the military, regardless of their rank, is a leader. There are, you know, traits that we have in the military that people don't get from being in the outside. And you can think about some of those traits because you work with people, you're thrown into work with people you've never had to work before, and you must work as a team, especially a cohesive team, even when you're not in a wartime environment. You have to be able to pay attention to detail. Being prompt, that's a huge thing I see in the civilian side. People think it's okay to come to work late. And as an HR manager in the civilian world, it's a huge detriment and something that affects morale. So you have to put together what your strengths are, what you did that can translate. Again, there are ways to do that, and it took a lot of work. And I have found that most people actually sell themselves short when they build their resumes. They don't think about all the things that they have done.
It's almost like there's a need for a translation service for those who are separating.
And
you know, you spoke of the punctuality thing, and I just want to tell my listeners that normally when I log on to do our shows, I'm the first one on the call, and Michelle was waiting for me this time. And that's an unusual occurrence, and that's part of what's built into her, that punctuality and that, obviously, the willingness to serve and to care about doing the right thing for people that often is... In the private sector and in the civilian world, we don't really think about because it's not anything that seems important to us. But in that world, it clearly is, and we happen to like it when we experience it, like the example of lateness. You know, we kind of take it for granted that a couple of minutes late is okay. Not for you, is it, Michelle?
No. You know, I feel like you are given a task, and one of those tasks in your job is to come to work on time and be ready to work. So that is something that I think as a military or former military getting out, you can sell yourself with, because sitting in my current position, knowing that tardiness or absenteeism is something that occurs, not just in this job, but in other civilian jobs, it's a selling point that I know most employers would really welcome. That I know they feel that, and I hear this a lot, military people are very disciplined. Not everybody is, but I would say, yes, there's a certain ingrained discipline, you know, and you know that you're going to do the job no matter what and get it done. Again, there are so many, you know, soft skills that we get. We have to, like I did mention this, but we do have to work as a team. We have to learn to get along, sometimes working under intense pressure. And that means that when you're applying for a job, you can sell yourself by you simply putting perhaps in your objective or in your profile, ability to work well under pressure. That is huge depending on what job you are applying for. The other thing I would remind folks who are transitioning is you need to be realistic about the jobs that you are applying for. if you have had a signal background and you're applying to be a nurse, you're not going to meet the minimum job qualifications in order to even be considered for that particular job. And I'm certain you've talked about that, Jeff.
Yeah, there's always the thing about not creating what I call resume spam, sending resumes out for jobs that you in no way, shape, or form are qualified for, and hoping against hope that someone will call you. But as you may have discovered already, they really don't.
Right. No, they don't. And I told you this, and I would not hire somebody who didn't meet the bare minimum qualifications, even if they had many other attributes and or capabilities.
And when someone's looking at the resume, the easiest way to think of it, of demonstrating the bare minimum qualifications, is if you're submitting a resume to a job that you're seeing online or in some other venue, take the language from the job description and this is the big part, if true, use similar language in your resume, because that's what the applicant tracking software is looking for. It's looking for similar languaging to select from, ideally within the first half to three quarters of the first page of the resume. And if the resume demonstrates that, then there's a good shot in an interview. If it doesn't, the applicant tracking system or the person reading it, if only a civilian, may not get it. So always good to translate and to keep the language as similar as possible to what is used in the civilian world.
Right. Absolutely.
So you coach people. When you're working with someone, I'm sure it's not just simply the resume that needs work. What other sorts of things might someone need to work on?
Transitioning over, one of the big things is it depends on, I'd say one of the hardest transitions is for a senior officer to come out. I'll give you a good example. I worked with someone who came out as a full bird colonel and 33 years in the military and expected people to jump whenever he needed something to be done. So likewise, if you're an enlisted person who's getting out, whether you have done your 4 years or you've done over 20, the civilian side is different. You know, somebody doesn't always give an order and you have to follow through. There's a different protocol. You do not necessarily have to call someone ma'am or sir. I think it depends on the situation. Mr. or miss is oftentimes a good way to go. I've heard a lot of women say they don't like being called ma'am. I think when you're going in for an interview, when you're confirming that, if you're confirming through a third party, you should ask how the person wishes to be addressed so you can figure that out. And if you don't have a third party and you get in there, you can ask them directly, how would you like me to address you, Mr. Because remember, these are civilian people and civilian employers, and they don't usually have people say yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, unless, you know, it's the cultural fit of that company. So it's important to realize and research before you go into the interview, what's the culture of the company? If it's all prior military folks, you should have no problem. But if you're going to work in a retail environment where nobody there has ever served in the military, you also have to realize it's much, much different than the military. And that's something that you're going to have to adjust to going through a period of time.
Well put. And folks, you're listening to Job Search Radio on webtalkradio.net. We'll be back with more from Michelle in just a moment, but first I want to provide you with my Job Search Insider tip for this show. And this tip may not be relevant for those who are separating from the military, and it may be. But what I want to say is, for many people I come into contact with, they don't really put out maximum effort to try and find work. They're going by a certain process and a formula that they think is right, where they blindly send out resumes to ad after ad after ad and wait for results. And in point of fact, as a recent guest, Dave Opton, said, one of the statistics that his organization has tracked is that 70% of all jobs are filled by people who are networking, And of those 70%, 70% of those are filled because of relationships developed with people who in no way, shape, or form were known to the person at the beginning of the search. So your job, more than anything, is to get out there and talk to people and to really crank it up. Don't go slowly. Kick it up. Push yourself. Put yourself into uncomfortable situations, because the more you do that, the more comfortable you're going to get. Practice does make perfect under these circumstances. So it's important to get out and about and make your mistakes as quickly as possible, because once you've made those mistakes, I'm sure you won't make them again. So that's my tip for this show. Let's come back to Michelle Trojanowska and continue our conversation. So we were talking about the culture and the behaviors that those who are separating experience when they interview. The yes ma'ams, the no sirs, and the forms of communication. How is wardrobe for most people? I tend to think of that as being something that they may have some misconceptions about. Am I wrong about that? Please correct me if I'm mistaken.
In regards to how they dress? Is that what you're asking me, Jeff?
Are they more formal or less formal than needs to be, or does it vary by circumstance?
I'd say from my experience overall, they tend to be more formal, which I think is always a good idea. It's better to have a tie on than to get in there and find out you're the only gentleman there that does not have one on. It also shows that you've put an effort into your appearance and how you want to, you know, put yourself forward in the interview. Of course, you arrive 15 minutes early. You should bring extra copies of your resume, and you should be prepared to explain things that are not on your resume relating to the military, because while you may civilianize it, there may still be some concepts that people completely don't understand. I've heard people tell me that they can't seem to civilianize their resume, and while there are some resources, I believe that you can always civilianize your resume. Even if you take an 11 Bravo, which is an infantryman position, there are so many things that you can take from the job description that's on that the Army puts out, I should say, and you can turn it around. You can state things like superb leadership qualifications and talk about how you worked on a team, and you change that around to a civilian team. Again, the military does offer resources. One of the things I've found difficult is the people who are providing the resources oftentimes haven't worked on both sides of the fence. And what I mean is they haven't been in the military, gotten out, searched for a civilian job. They either have been in the military and then went right back to work for the military, helping other people get out and built a resume, or they come from the civilian side and don't understand the military as much as they need to.
This reminds me of a conversation I had with someone recently about millennials finding work and taking the advice of people at the college placement offices. You know, those people who've never worked in the private sector telling them how to get a job in the private sector when they themselves never have.
Right.
So all the advice is book learning. It's not real world advice.
Yeah, I find that happens quite a bit, and then people get discouraged, too. But I do feel that military members, you know, the federal government has pushed this year to increase hiring veterans by 7-8% for most federal companies, and private civilians, I believe, are being encouraged, although I don't think they're mandated by the same quota number, I should say, if that's the number. But it's still... how do we reach out to veterans, and how do veterans know to reach out to organizations? And there does have to be some kind of liaison, or at least some mechanism to help members who are transitioning get their resume rewritten so that people understand what their value is.
I agree. And I know you do coaching of people. Are there resources that someone can go to help them with their resume, find job leads? What sort of resources might you direct someone to?
I think One of the better ones that people could go to, there's the O-Net Online. That's one of the ones that, and it's exactly that, it's just O-Net Online. They're very good in trying to help people take their particular job and try to figure out how to get it civilianized. There's www.military.com, which also helps. Again, most of this is being done through just, you know, using the program, and unless you're going to pay someone an astronomical amount of money, $300 to $500 seems to be the going price, depending on the quality you want, you're not going to get much feedback on what you've created from that. There are other services. I would say that I would be glad to help people, to point people to other services, including myself, helping if anyone would want to reach me. And my
and we're
going
to come to that a little bit later, so I don't want to jump the gun on that one yet. So if you were telling someone the big thing that we haven't discussed yet, the item that I just don't have the knowledge of for the veteran, to ask you the right question, what should we be talking about now? What's the big thing that we need to cover here?
From a veteran standpoint when they're going into the
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I think it's okay to ask if they have any military knowledge. That will give them a really good idea of who their target audience is that they're speaking to, because you really don't know. And one way you can preface that is simply by saying, you know, you've obviously looked at my resume and you've called me in here, and instead of being redundant and maybe, you know, saying things you already know, do you, does anyone here on the interview panel have any military knowledge? And it will also, if there is anyone in the room, I think it's also kind of like, oh, great, at least someone in here, you know, is on my side, so to speak. Not really on your side, but I think you know what I mean. You've, feel like there's
absolutely. Do they understand what I'm talking about at a deeper level than just
right.
book knowledge, for example?
Exactly. And then you have to figure out how you're going to craft your answers. So when I talked about a post-exchange from my own bio, what I explained is that there, we had 3,200 soldiers where I was located, and there were no amenities. What that means is there's no Walmart, there's no McDonald's, there's no nothing. What we relied on were care packages. So I took the initiative to figure out how we could get amenities to our soldiers. And this is taking care of people. My job is human resources. How did I do this? We figured out how to build a store, how to get inventory, and how to manage, how do you manage a store for soldiers? And that's a huge thing. So even those soldiers who helped me build that store should be putting on their resume the same kind of things I have. While they may not have spearheaded it, they certainly, I couldn't have done it without them. And so they have, you have to think, how do I translate this and make it sensible and sell myself at the same time? What does that show to someone? That you wanted to take care of people, that's number one. That you didn't have the resources to do it, so you took initiative and you figured out how to make it happen.
And that idea of taking initiative, telling the stories, because it's not just simply reciting facts.
Right.
It's telling stories and providing texture to those stories that makes all the difference in interviewing.
Right.
Even in your resume, where you can communicate a few sentences that provide texture to the information, it goes a long way toward getting a few ahas of recognition that will get more interviews for you.
I agree 100%. It's trying to figure out how to tell the stories and sell yourself, and you have to practice. I always recommend that before you go to an interview, once you know that you have it, that you really memorize the job description and think about examples of how you, in your previous positions, did the things that are on the job description, even in the military. There's plenty of things that you did, and most, again, I think most people sell themselves short.
And one of the suggestions I'll make for interviewing, and I've mentioned this on other shows, but folks may not have heard this advice before, is that when the interview starts off, rather than passively waiting for them to ask the first question. You can ask, you can say to them, "Thank you so much for making time to see me. I recall the position description, but I want to get your take on the job. Could you tell me about the position as you see it and what I can do to help?" Because, and I suggest that because, frankly, for most people, by the time they walk in the door, the job description may have changed a little bit. They may have interviewed some people and spotted some things that they really want from someone. So in this way, you're getting the best information about what they're looking for at the beginning of the interview, where you can use that information in order to sell yourself. And thus, when they get around to asking the question of, tell me about yourself and what you've been doing, well, obviously you can speak to the elements in your background that fit what they're looking for, if true, of course. I don't believe in lying, and I hope the same is true of my audience as well. But you can talk about the things that you've done that relate to what matters to the firm that's hiring, and do it in a way with language that you've just heard from them that speaks to what matters.
That's a great suggestion. It's a really good way to start everything off and kind of break the ice, especially if you're nervous. I also would say, and I'm sure you've touched on this, but as an HR professional, the one thing when someone asks you to tell me, when I say tell me something about yourself, I don't need a recitation of your resume. I have that in front of me. This is your 5 minutes to shine, is what I tell folks when I'm coaching them. This is when you need to figure out what it is that you want to sell to them. They don't need to know where you live and how many kids you have and where you've worked for the last 10 years. That's not it. They're looking for that spark, and are you the one? And so that's your time. And that, for a veteran, is the best time to sell yourself. I have, for example, I've served this country honorably for 15 years. What a great way to start off, you know, especially with the federal push to hire veterans. That's fantastic. You know, not many people go that route, especially today. You know, there are very few people that choose to go in the way they used to.
And saying in a way that you don't necessarily present yourself as being, quote, official or military. You can speak in a way that's conversational and relaxed, as I'm sure people have heard other civilians speak to one another. Try to copy the speech cadence and the styles that you're hearing from civilians, but at the same time, you can deliver it in a way that is clear and concise and direct and to the point, just as you recommended, Michelle.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, we're starting to come up on the end of our time with one another. How can people reach you, Michelle, if they'd like coaching from you?
I'd be glad to help, especially veterans who are transitioning. But in general, if you are just a veteran and struggling, you've already gotten out, you can reach me. My personal email is, I didn't say civilian email, Jeff, my personal email is, for those military, it's MikeIndia, 1074 at gmail.com. For those civilians, that's MIMI, 1074 at gmail.com.
Thank you so much for making time. I really appreciate it, Michelle.
Jeff, it's been really great. Thank you. And if anything that I said helps someone who is having to struggle to figure out how to transition, I will have done a good deed for the day. So thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
So that's today's show. I hope you found it helpful. And if you did, here are a few ways to get even more from me. First of all, visit my website, www.thebiggamehunter.us. I have several thousand blog posts there that you can watch, listen to, or read to help you find your next job. If you want the best of my advice, join jobsearchcoachinghq.com, where I've curated my information with a focus on interviewing. If you have a few questions, contact me through the Magnify app for iOS. That's Magnify with an I at the end, or prestoexperts.com, where you can call me. Schedule a specific time with me through chat on Magnify or by connecting with me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/IN/TheBigGameHunter. Once we're connected on LinkedIn, you can message me about coaching you, speaking with me about a resume or LinkedIn profile critique, help with a salary negotiation, my trusted advisor services, as well as scheduling me through for Magnify or for prestoexperts.com. Like you, I don't work for free. You can also take my classes on Skillshare and become a premium member using the link in the show notes and receive 2 months for free instead of just the one that the site offers. Skillshare offers thousands of courses, not just simply mine. It is a great resource in a variety of different areas. Subscribe to my other podcast, which is called Job Search Radio. This one is number one in Apple Podcasts. Job Search Radio is number two. Subscribe to both. You will get great information 7 days a week from this show, 6 days a week from the other. Lastly, I want to encourage you to join my group on Facebook called Career Angles. It's free to the first 500 people who join and is focused on helping you do better at work. Information is shared daily, and we're building a supportive group there to provide advice and counsel during difficult times. Again, the group on Facebook is called Career Angles. I'll be back tomorrow with more. In the meantime, have a great day. Be great!
Dunkin' is here to keep you running with a much-needed taste of normal. To work, home, or work from home. With the coffee you like, just the way you like it. Whether that's a small hot black coffee, your daily 2 p.m. latte, or a bacon, egg, and cheese croissant and a medium iced coffee with oat milk, one sugar, 2 pumps of caramel, 1 pump hazelnut, a swirl of French vanilla, and a shot of espresso.
I call it my p.m. pep rally. You should really try it.
Whatever it is that gets you running, Dunkin's got you and always will. America runs on Dunkin'.